Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. How awesome it is to be in the presence of the Lord. As God is always at work, He is always in the midst of us. He is always aware of all the little details pertaining to our lives. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing to know, to have confidence in the knowing that God is with us and will never forsake us. Well, there is so much happening in the world around us, and it's so exciting to be a child of God, to be someone who is in communion with the Holy Spirit, and the will and the ways of God are at work in the midst of our lives. And what an awesome place it is to be. This is the beginning of a new month. Here we are in the month of April already, and we're still fighting coronavirus or whatever else is going on in the world regarding this whole situation. And we know regardless that God has placed us here for such a time as this. Each and every one of us have been born for this moment. The church and the people of God have been preparing for such a time as this. And this is what the gospel is all about. This is what the New Testament is all about. This is what God has been preparing us for. We are ready for whatever it is that God is doing in the midst of us. And it is exciting to know. I pray that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of the Spirit of the Lord. I pray that the anointing of God is stirring in the midst of your house, in the midst of your worship and your praise, and as you've sung songs and hymns and spiritual songs. What an awesome time of worship we have had, and we are so grateful that God is still in the midst of His people. Hallelujah. We are talking about having an excellent spirit. We ought to all have an excellent spirit. I pray that your spirit is one of excellence, that you are filled to the glory of God. This month's theme is regeneration, and we all need a regenerated spirit. John chapter 3 talks about being regenerated by the Lord, having been born from above, having been born of God. I pray that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have asked Him to forgive you of your sins, to apply the work of the cross, the very thing that He did to liberate us, that it would be charged to your account, that what He did would be handed over as a covering for you and your sin and your life. Well, that's what's so exciting about today as we celebrate Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. And I know that there are so many exciting things happening in the midst of us. And I pray that you have been regenerated by the Spirit of the Lord, that the glory of God is stirring within you. You know you should be able to feel the anointing of the Spirit of God. Today is Palm Sunday, and we are celebrating the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It was the time when Jesus was fulfilling the scriptures and establishing Himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray that you have your palms. I've got mine right here. And I pray that you are able to sing glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill to all men. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. This is the season that we are in, and we are so grateful and thankful to God for all that He is doing in the midst of us. Well, today we will be looking at the Word of God, and we are excited to know that He is able to do abundantly more than we could ask or imagine, that we are trusting in the Lord with all our heart, and we are not leaning to our own understanding or the understanding of somebody else, and we are looking to God, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we are trusting in Him and in His Word. Well, today's theme verse is Zechariah 9:9, and it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, Your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Oh, what an awesome verse. This is the verse that is essentially prophetically speaking of Jesus when he comes in his triumphal entry. Jesus is come into the midst of us that we might know that he has all victory in his hand. And that victory is not just for himself. He has given us the victory also. And so I would like to use as a theme today, triumphal entry. Triumphal entry. Boldly go like no man has gone before. And I pray that you are ready for the word of the Lord today. Are you ready? Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would give us boldness to go forth in power and in might, in confidence and in strength, that we would enter into the places that you have called us to go, be the people you have called us to be, that the world may know that Christ is Lord, that Jesus is the Savior of all humanity and mankind, and he is able to liberate and set the captives free. I pray, oh God, that your word would come forth in strength and in might, that it would impact the hearts and renew the minds of your people to impart life, health, and vitality, that those who hear may be quickened in their spirit and empowered and strengthened with the love, joy, and peace of God, that the Lord's hand of strength would be upon them. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, O God. Amen and amen. Well, Jesus' triumphal entry is exactly what is represented here on this day that we celebrate. And Jesus boldly went into Jerusalem despite knowing what he was about to face. In fact, the Word of God tells us that he wept as he went into Jerusalem, as he came in through the Mount of Olives, a very unique and interesting way to come into Jerusalem. And it says that he entered in and he wept. And I believe he was weeping because he knew all that was about to happen. He knew everything that he was about to face. I believe he wept because he knew the future of Jerusalem. And he knew that all those who were celebrating him, that there was a conspiracy at work to try to kill him. And that those who were with him would not be with him for long, for they would soon turn against him. And so, as we look here at Zechariah 9:9, we know that Jesus came in with victory into Jerusalem. And in Zechariah, he says, O daughter of Zion, shout in triumph. I pray that you haven't lost your shout today. I pray that you are able to enter in to your house, enter into the atmosphere and the presence of God with praise and glorifying shouts unto God. I pray that you have salvation at work in your life, that your heart and your mind and your life has been humbled and you are yielded to God. Jesus came in humbled and yielded on a donkey. A donkey is an animal of significance in the scripture and even in those days, as the donkey represents humility. The donkey represents one who is more than just a person who is just doing work, humble work and things in their daily life and routines. But the donkey also represents one who was made to do a work. Jesus rode a donkey that was made to do a work. That donkey was new. That donkey, that young colt, had never been ridden before. It came for the purpose of giving Jesus a ride into Jerusalem. That was its purpose. That was its focus. In Matthew 21:1, it says, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Verse 5 goes on and says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Oh, a beast that was used to work and to do the work of men. Jesus rode in on this beast. It says the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. And he sat on the coat. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the shout of God. This is the shout of celebration. We ought to be celebrating today what Jesus has done in our lives. We ought to be celebrating today what God is saying and what God is doing in the midst of our lives. Despite what we see, despite all that is happening, God is still on his throne. Jesus came into Jerusalem on a colt, and that colt was an animal that had never been ridden before, and it was something that needed to be broken in. Have you ever ridden on an animal, maybe a horse, that has never been ridden before? We've all seen the cowboy movies, haven't we? We've all seen how when you try to ride a horse or any type of animal like that has never been ridden before, they don't just say, oh, yes, get on, I'll give you a ride. Come on. No, they don't just do that. No, what they do is when you get on their backs, they start bucking and they're kicking and they're trying to get you off of them because they've never had anyone on before, except in the case of Jesus. Jesus, he got on that colt, and the colt said, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I've been waiting for you. You have called me for such a time as this. I would tell you that God wants to use you today. Don't buck and fight and resist God. Let God use you. Submit yourself to God. Allow God to use you. Let the Holy Spirit of God ride you through your life. Let God enable you, even as he enabled that donkey. Oh, I tell you, that was a miracle to see Jesus, to get on a donkey, and it did not fight him. It did not resist him, but it allowed him to guide him in to Jerusalem, and he guided him into the East Gate. You know, we love that around here because, you know, our church is in the East Gate complex, and this is the place where Jesus came in. And that's significant because did you know that when David was fleeing from his son Absalom, that he fled through the West Gate? He went out through the West Gate, the opposite. And here is Jesus coming in through the East Gate, and he is also, like David, who ran weeping and crying, Jesus came in weeping and crying for Jerusalem. Even as David went out, Jesus is the Son of David. He is called the Son of David. He is the Son of God. And he is the one who wept. He's undoing the mistakes of David, the issues and the problems that David had. Jesus is coming in and he's rectifying all that. He is turning things around. And that's what Jesus does in our lives. He turns things around. And even as David went out running and fleeing from Absalom, Jesus came in and he wept and he cried for Jerusalem. And he came in through the East Gate. He didn't come or in from any other gate, but he came in from the East Gate. And that is significant because the North Gate was for the sheep And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Jesus, he entered into the temple. And it says in verse 12 of Matthew 21 that he drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. It goes on to say, he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a robber's den." And so the blind and the lame, when they saw him, they heard him. It says they came to him in the temple. It says that not only did they come to him, but he received them and he healed them. Jesus wants to heal all of those who are sick and oppressed of the devil. I can assure you, even the coronavirus has to bow to the name of Jesus. Jesus is a healer. He is able to heal your body and renew your mind. He is able to liberate and set the captives free. Oh, I pray that you are calling upon the name of the Lord, that you are allowing God to operate in the midst of your life, that you are celebrating all that God is doing. Are you grateful? Are you thankful for your life and for what God is doing? Oh, I pray that you are. I pray that you are today. He goes on, and it says in verse 15, "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they became indignant." Oh, saints of God, I pray that you're not indignant today. Oh, there are many indignant people today. When they hear the name of Jesus, when you testify of all that he's doing in your life and all that he has done, oh, they become indignant. But let me tell you, you don't have to pay them any mind. You see, Jesus was asked several questions by the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. You know, in fact, they asked him basically three questions. The first one was, "By what authority do you cast out all of these money changers and turn over the tables?" And they wanted to know by what authority he was operating. And the next question that they asked by the Pharisees, in fact, they asked him, should we pay taxes? What should we do with our money? Oh, I tell you, there are always people who are concerned about their money. And then the third question that was asked, was that by the Sadducees. You see, they didn't believe in spiritual things. They didn't believe in the resurrection or angels or anything powerful, spiritual like that. And that's why they were sad. And they were very sad, you see. Oh, hallelujah. And so the Sadducees, you know, they asked him a question, and they too wanted to know about the afterlife. They wanted to know, what about marriage and the afterlife? And you know, they asked him questions as well. And so Jesus was riddled with these questions by these chief priests and these Pharisees. But Jesus didn't come to answer questions. Jesus came to be honored and glorified as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, the psalmist said in 118:26, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." I pray that you are blessing God from your house today. Let your house be the house of the Lord. Let your house be the place where the blessing of the Lord is going forth. Shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." I pray that you are rejoicing today. You are giving thanks today, and that you know that God is able to liberate your life regardless of how you feel and what's happening right now. All you need to do is turn to him, is look to him, and God is able and he is willing to heal and set the captives free. In Psalm 8:2, it says, "From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength." And some versions will say praise, "because of your adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease." Oh, I love this verse. This is so powerful, so awesome, because it even speaks to our situation right now. The awesome thing about it is it says, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes. You know, infants and nursing babes, they don't know what's going on. They don't know all the details about what's happening. All they know is that they are able to gain strength from the nursing of their mother. And I would say that we too ought to be nursing on the Word of God. We ought to be nursing on the Lord, nursing on Jesus himself. We ought to be gaining strength, establishing strength. And that word strength is also translated praise. And we ought to be established in our praise of God. Did you know that worship will give you strength? Do you know that worshiping God will strengthen your spirit, will bring forth the anointing of God in your life? You will see your atmosphere and the presence change. Everything will shift when you begin to praise God. Oh, I pray that the enemy is not robbing you of your praise. Don't you let Satan rob you of your praise. Don't you let him hold you back or hinder you. God has given you praise because of your adversaries. So God wants you to use your praise. Say, Hosanna. Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. That will cause your enemies and the revengeful to cease. Hallelujah. Use your praise. It is a weapon. It is a tool that God will enable to change your heart, renew your mind, and enable you to experience an entirely different atmosphere. Just go throughout your house, go throughout your home, and just say, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. I give you thanks, oh God. I magnify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh God, I praise you. Hallelujah. And you ought to be praising God. You ought to be giving thanks to God. It will change your atmosphere. The sound of silence, remember, is the sound of defeat. The losing team always goes home quiet. They go out with their heads down and their hearts being low. But the victory team has a shout. The victory team is magnifying and glorifying because they are victorious. And I would submit to you today that through Christ, you are victorious. And that is why we celebrate. That is why we shout. And we give God all the glory and all the praise. You know, it reminds me of a man named Daniel. Daniel is an awesome man. He was a man who went in to the king when the king had a dream. He had this dream, and he knew that his wise men around him, that they would conspire in order to just tell him anything. They would tell him what they wanted him to hear, or what they thought he wanted to hear. And so he decided, I am going to put them to the test. Let's see how wise they really are. And if they can't answer and meet my requirements, they will be put to death. We will shut them down. And so the king, he put out his edict and he summoned all of his men and he brought them in, all the wise men, and he said, I want you to tell me the dream that I had last night. And then I want you to tell me what it means. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Woo, glory to God. There's a way to identify the phony from the real, isn't it? That, what a way to identify the fake from those who are putting up a front. Hallelujah. And those who are real. And I tell you that if you are real with God, that if you're not putting up a front, if you're not a fake or a phony, if you are genuine in God, you have the power to change the atmosphere. You have the power and the ability to bring in the presence of God. He will show you things. He will teach you things. He will reveal to you mysteries, things that you need to know that people may not think you know, but you know. Hallelujah. Because God reveals them to you. And so Daniel was put to the test. And it says that he heard about what was happening. They said, oh, they're gonna put us all to death. No one can do what the king is asking us to do. It's impossible. So Daniel said, wait a minute, what do you mean? The impossible? Hold it. I have a God that specializes in the impossible. Whenever something is impossible, you know that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity for God. I even believe that if this whole nation were to humble itself and begin to pray and begin to get on its knees and cry out to God, and that if all of the people of the United States of America and even the world for that matter were to cry out to God, even coronavirus would be eradicated from the midst of us. I believe that if the people of God could get on one accord and be of one mind, God can do the impossible. He can do the unexpected thing. He can do things that we would beyond what we could even ask or imagine. So Daniel, he boldly went in. He boldly went in like no man has gone into the king before. All of the other king, those men were, they were hidden off in a corner. They were hiding. They knew that their doom was at hand. They knew they were about to die. They knew they were in a situation that was bigger than them. It was impossible. But Daniel, he had boldness. And so he goes into the king and he asks the king, wait a minute, what's the rush here, king? What is the rush? Daniel starts asking questions. Hallelujah. And that's what God will do. God will turn things around so that you can ask some questions. And you begin to ask questions like, what is going on here? This doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, what's happening? Oh, what everybody's saying and everybody's doing doesn't really seem to be in line with the realities. And so Daniel went in and he said, King, I need more time. I need more time to work this thing out. I need to have time in order to declare the interpretation. I want to give you what you want. I want to show you that it is not impossible. I will seek out from my God the answer. You see, Daniel was a man who was not ashamed to talk to God about his problems, because Daniel had a relationship with God from the very beginning. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He sought the face of God when things were going good, when everything was the way it should be. He had a relationship with God. And you and I, we ought to have a relationship with God when times are good. Because when your relationship with God is solid, when times are good, then when times like these happen, we are prepared. We are ready. We have confidence in God and in the things of the Lord. And we are able to boldly go into the king and say, Lord, tell us what we need to know. And they said to the king, Daniel said to the king, we need a little more time. Give us a little more time. And so the king said, all right. You can have your time. You take some time, and I want to hear from you. And so Daniel went to his friend's house. Hallelujah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know them probably better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, you have to have good people around you. So many people, they have a bunch of phony baloney people around them. They have a bunch of people who are all talk, no action people. They have people who are religious, but they are not righteous. And they have people in their lives that are all around them that are carnal, and they're operating with a worldly mentality. But if you surround yourself with the right people, the Word of God tells us that these 4 men, they were chosen by the king because they had potential. They were chosen by the king because they were pure, because they were handsome. They were good-looking men. And they were chosen because they were wise for their young age, and that they could see that there is something about them that would be useful to the king. And I pray that God is able to see something useful in you. I pray that the people around you are surrounding you who are useful for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that they are strengthening you and enabling you and pulling you together. Well, I pray that you have people like Daniel did. And he gathered them together. And what did they do? It says in verse 18, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Man, that is incredible. I'm reading that. I'm saying, this is crazy. Look at this. They go in and they seek God, and they're seeking God. They're not seeking God for everybody. They're seeking God that they themselves may not be destroyed with the rest of them. Oh, my goodness. I said, wow, look at that. They're saying, look, you can put them to death, but you're not going to put us to death because we have the answer. We have the answer from God. Well, actually, Daniel had more compassion than that. Daniel was actually standing in the gap, even just as Jesus stands in the gap. The reality is that Daniel was a man who not only was concerned about his friends, but he went in because he was concerned about the truth. And when you have the truth in your life, when you have the truth operating in your heart, you can boldly go in and you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be afraid because you are walking in righteousness and in truth. Verse 19 says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Oh, he is blessing the name of God. He is like the Paschal Lamb. The Paschal Lamb, that's who Jesus was. Jesus was the Paschal Lamb. The Paschal Lamb is the lamb that met three requirements. It was first, it had to be 1 year old. It had to be 1 year old. And that 1 year old lamb, it represented the life of the person who was presenting it in behalf of the sacrifice for their own sin. And it represent a year of life. And then it had to be pure. It had to be without spot or wrinkle. It had to be righteous. It represented the righteousness of Christ. It represented the truth of God and the fulfilling of the word and the will of God. And so the third thing is, they had to be verified. It had to be inspected. And even after all that, having come in through the sheep gate. And that is why it's so important for us to be able to follow the word of God and to stay true to the word of God, even as Daniel did with his brethren as they came together and they sought the face of God. It says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel. The mystery was revealed because Daniel asked. Saints of God, if you seek the face of God, if you ask of God, even for the impossible, God is able to reveal it to you. But you have to have a right relationship with him. You have to have a relationship with him that would enable you to have the boldness to come in. Daniel had boldness to not only go into to see the king, but he had the boldness to come before God to ask God for the impossible. It says in verse 20, Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Hallelujah. And it is he who changes the times and the epochs or seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. You see, this is the requirement that Daniel met. Daniel and his three friends, they all met this requirement of the king. The king required that they have wisdom, that they would be wise, and that they would have the ability to learn and understand. In fact, they went to training for school under the king's direction for 3 years in order to learn a new language, the language of the Chaldeans, so that they would be able to operate in the king's palace. To go from Hebrew to the language of the Chaldeans, I'm sure that took some work. But they trained for 3 years and they gained and grew in wisdom and knowledge. And that is because God enabled them. God enabled them. Oh, in chapter 1, it says God enabled them to learn. He gave them, he imparted to them wisdom. He made them wise men and he gave them knowledge so that they could understand. I pray that you are able to seek God, that your relationship with God is such that you would be able to experience God, that you would be able to know that he is able to do what seems to be impossible. You can learn a whole new language. You can learn a language that God has imparted to you. And you will have the capacity and the ability to learn. It says, it is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness and the light that dwells within him. Oh, I pray that you are able to commune with God so that he can reveal to you the profound and hidden things, that you would be able to know what is in the darkness and the light that dwells with him. Oh, I pray that you're dwelling with the light of God, that you're dwelling in the presence of God, that you're dwelling under the anointing of the Spirit of God. He said, to you, O God, My fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. This is what God does. This is why he's so awesome, because he is able to reveal mysteries to us. He's able to speak to us. He's able to enable us to accomplish things that no other man can do. We can boldly go where no man has gone before. We can step into a place of righteousness and truth. We can have confidence in knowing that God is with us. We can enter triumphantly. We too can have a triumphal entry as we interact with our fellow man, as we do the will of God, as we accomplish the things that God has called us to do. Oh, I pray that you would experience these things that Daniel experienced, because Christ already modeled the way for us. He's already led us into the way that we should go, so that we would be able to represent him in this 21st century. Oh, what an awesome thing it is to know that God has made known to us the mysteries of the things of this world. Oh, I pray that God would continue to use you to reveal mysteries in your life, that you would have confidence in knowing that God is with you. And so the mystery of the gospel has been revealed, and we are now able to stand. Verse 23 again says, to you, O God, my fathers, I give thanks and praise. I pray that you give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and power. Can you say that? I pray that you can today. I pray that you can say that God has given you wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you. This is Daniel being able to stand even in the midst, having experienced the impossible. I pray that you can experience the impossible so that you would have boldness to go into the king's court. For you have made known to us the king's matter. Oh, thank you, Lord, for revealing things that we need to know so that we can have boldness to go. And so it says in verse 24, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation of the king. Hallelujah. Oh, what a powerful thing. You see, when Daniel prayed, he prayed and said, God, don't destroy us along with the other wise men of Babylon. Reveal to us this mystery so that we might know. And God gave him the mystery. And then when he came into the king, he didn't go in representing just him or just him and his three friends, but he went in with boldness and he stood in the gap for everyone. And that is a picture of Jesus. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus came in on his triumphal entry, he came in representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not just for himself, not just for his disciples, not just for the people that were in the crowd, not just for the people of Jerusalem, but for the whole world, for you and for me. Jesus, he stood in the gap and he triumphantly came in representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, that is who Jesus is. And so then in verse 25, it says, then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, he fell on his face when he heard the interpretation. And Daniel broke it down and he explained everything. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. He began to see. His eyes were open. His understanding came about. God did the miracle. He did the amazing. He did the incredible. And he is dumbfounded, such to the point where he even fell on his face before God. And he did homage to Daniel. He honored Daniel. And he gave orders to present to him an offering. and fragrant incense. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I can tell you that that is a wonderful thing. That is an awesome thing to be able to be in the presence of God, to be able to have receive an offering and to have fragrant incense. You know, the word of God talks about in the presence of God, where the throne room of God is, that there are incense that burn there. The incense represent the prayers of God's people. The golden bowl of incense that Revelation talks about, it's where the prayers of God's people ascend up into the presence of God. And that incense is what God is using to come and reveal mysteries. I pray there are incense going up from you today, that there are incense arising in your life today as God stands in and intervenes in your life, explaining and teaching and revealing to you the mysteries of the darkness, that the light of God may shine in your life. Oh, I pray the king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. Oh, I pray that you also are one who can testify of the fact that God is able to reveal mysteries, that God is surely a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. Oh, I pray that God is using you today. God wants to use you. You have value. You have potential. You have been cleaned by the word of God. You have been covered from your sins. They've been washed away by Jesus' blood on the cross and all that he sacrificed in order for you and I to experience in life, that we might live even as the very principles and powers of God operate in the midst of us. It says, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. Hallelujah. Notice Daniel didn't forget about his friends. He was blessed and he was used of God powerfully, but he did not do it alone. He gathered people around him who he knew were right before God, and they sought the face of God together, and God answered their prayers. I pray that you would gather around yourself people who you know can let the prayers of God ascend into heaven, the incense of God go up into heaven, and that you would be able to be and testify of the things of God, and that you would not forget those who God used in your life to bless you. I pray that you would never forget those who God used to bring the word of God to you, to help you in the ways of God, who taught you and who enabled you to learn and understand the mysteries of God, that you would hold fast to that and honor God and give thanks for them. This is what God has called us to do. This is who we are. It says, so Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation of the king. You see, all you need is time. All you need is time. Daniel said, I just need a little time so I can talk to my Lord. I need to talk to the Lord. Saints of God, today God has given us time. He has given us the ability to pause as we're all in our homes so that we can seek the face of God, so that he can reveal to us the mysteries and the truths of what is going on. Seize this time. Take advantage of this time and let the mysteries of God go forth so that you can be like Daniel, the Daniel who went into his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Meshach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego about the matter. Oh, I pray that you are praying with people who are able to support you in making an offering and request unto God. I pray that you are able to stand even in the midst of this challenging and difficult time. Verse 18 says, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Well, saints of God, I pray that you are praying and seeking God, that you may have life today. Despite the coronavirus, you may have the life of God, the Zoe of God, life even in the midst of life, and that you would be able to stand celebrating and singing, Hosanna, Hosanna is to the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that you would be rejoicing with a triumphal entry into the places that God would have you to go, boldly going like no man has gone before. You would have a triumphal entry. Take your palms today. Celebrate with us and let us rejoice in the fact that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I pray that you are rejoicing today. Let us rejoice together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Today, that you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that it is the power of God unto salvation. I pray that you are able to even go into the king's court because you have heard from God, because you have been in the midst of his presence. You've gathered two or three together in his name that he might be in the midst of you. And I pray today that despite all of the sickness and disease that is going forth in the earth, that you would have assurance in your heart and in your life, knowing that Jesus Christ has already paved the way. And today is the day of celebration and thanksgiving. And so together we grab our palms and we rejoice and we say, glory to God, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you as we rejoice in the Lord in Jesus' name.
Sing, sing, sing. Hallelujah. So grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high your name.
Upon you, and may his glory fill your house. I pray that the move of God would be strong in the midst of you, and that his will and his ways would be manifested in the midst of your life. I pray that God would be lifted up and exalted as we celebrate this day of triumphal entry. I challenge you to boldly go where no man has gone before. And if you can go like no man has gone before, you will know that you are going in the power and in the strength of Jesus. May his glory be in the midst of you and all your life in Jesus' name. God bless you and thank you for supporting and being a part
of the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.